Thank you, Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to the book of Titus with me. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And I'd like to preach a message this morning entitled, What is Required? What is required to have a blessed hope? What is required to have a blessed hope? You know, we had weddings this week and funerals and all the things that the Lord said will continue until he comes. As a body of believers, as a group of Christians, and especially for me as I continue to age and have teenagers. My youngest child turned, just recently, this became a teenager, and now I really want to say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. And we can laugh about those things, but we do realize that as the days we see more and more tribulation, as the tribulation period approaches, we realize that it is the blessed hope that we look for. Amen. We often and strive in politics and all the things that we think will help and maybe put a band-aid on this side of heaven. But the answer to all of it is the blessed hope and our great God returning for us. The only thing that will save the church is the thing that will save our never-dying soul, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we approach the day and we realize as we look around all the things that need to be fulfilled according to the scripture have been fulfilled for the return of Jesus Christ to happen, except that last person that will receive Jesus as their Savior. And then we'll hear that sound from heaven and the trump of God. Folks, I don't know about you, but as a believer, I never thought that I'd have such a blessed hope. And as I age and that I see the day approaching, it's just something inside my soul and my heart. It grows sweeter and sweeter as the days pass by. As I see the world grow worse and worse and the evil grow greater, I realize my blessed hope is approaching. I realize and I look today like I've never looked for the Lord's return. It's been preached from this pulpit for decades that Jesus is about to return, and one day will be that day. And we will not cease to preach that we're looking for our blessed hope to come back until he comes. Whether it be in our lifetime or whether it be in someone else's, we'll continue to preach the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you this morning before we begin and before I get too wound up, amen. But we'll just ask the Lord to help us one more time before we preach this morning. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just think about all the things that are going on in the world today and how many people run to and fro and they're lost and on their way to hell. They're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. Some, even in this country, have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today as we stand in the place here, Lord, behind this pulpit, Lord, and the great weight of preaching the gospel, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would speak, and don't let me speak a word, Lord. You'd speak through me. Let me be your messenger boy just to speak the unsearchable riches that are found in Jesus Christ this morning. I pray, God, that you'd be with the hearers. Holy Spirit of God, you do the job that cannot be done by the speaker or my voice, but you reach into the hearts of men and women, Lord, and convict hearts and draw all men unto Jesus Christ, for he was lifted up on Calvary for our sin, paid our debt, and rose again that we might have life and have it more abundantly in him. I pray this all in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. What is required to have a blessed hope? In Timothy, or Titus here, chapter number 2, Titus chapter number 2, look with me at verse number 11. The Bible says, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. This book is one of the pastoral epistles. Paul is writing by inspiration to one of his preacher boys, and the very last verse of the chapter gives him instruction on how he is to stand and to preach about the blessed hope and the appearing of our great God. Look at it with me in verse 15. He says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." You know, oftentimes we don't think about, and in our day, pastors, preachers of the Word of God, evangelists, we don't think of them often as we ought to. I do believe in our group, I think we reverence the pastor and the position. I think we realize to a certain extent that he's given authority, not necessarily to do so many things that sometimes people get themselves into trouble. He is not, a pastor is not to lord over the people, but he is given authority to speak. He is given authority to exhort. That's just to encourage you to do right and to rebuke. That means when we, you know, the old time way of talking about stepping on my toes, preacher, getting in your grill, even though he doesn't really run out from behind the pulpit, but it feels like he's getting in your face and into your life. And who told the preacher what I was doing this week? You know, sometimes people quit because the preacher is going to preach on something that gets in the grill. And today's not a message where I'm necessarily going to get after your sin, but I want to tell you today, one of the greatest sins of God's church, his people, is that we fail to look for the appearing of our great God. Do you realize the scripture here teaches us that for us, it says teaching us in verse 12, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The preacher is to teach the sound doctrine of the scripture with sound speech according to the scripture, and to tell the people how we ought to walk and live according to the scripture in this present age, because Jesus will return. And if we're not careful, he will catch us not watching, not looking, not really thinking about that he is on his way back. If we're not careful, we'll get caught watching the news instead of watching for Jesus to come. If we're not careful, we'll get caught watching the gas prices and not for Jesus to come. Sometimes we'll get thinking so much about the gas price, we'll forget that there's a lost man on the other side of the pump. We'll forget that the place that we parked and we're going to go inside and get a receipt, that person behind the register may need a just a little word from heaven, a little track that has the death, burial of Jesus Christ, resurrection inside of it. We'll forget that Jesus could come at any moment, and this may be my last opportunity to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. As a young man, I heard my preacher preach about it, and I've told you so many times how I thought, man, hold up, Lord. Hold up. I want to get married first. Hold up. I want to have kids first. Lord, hold up. No. You know, I can tell you, the closer I get to it, I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I realize that the greatest day of my life, I'm thankful for the salvation that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that I grew up in a local church that taught me right doctrine, and that every good thing after salvation that happened to me at my church. I'm thankful that I got baptized in the local church. I surrendered to preach and went before my church on a Sunday morning after a Friday night camp, and I stood up and told the church, God's called me to preach. Amen. And I mean, it was my people. It's my crowd. It's my family. I told my mom and daddy, but now it was time to tell the church what God had done in my heart and soul. Hey, it changed my world. I went before my local church, and 300 people packed our little building out to watch a 19 and an 18-year-old man and woman walk down the aisle together and get married. My preacher that I was saved under baptized me, married us, and put us together. Great day of my life. He was there when I got hurt. I got run over by an excavator. My preacher came and visited me and was in my home. My church welcomed us back Every one of my children went through the nursery and walked down the aisle with me and were dedicated unto the Lord in our church building. Folks, I can't help but say I'm looking for the blessed hope. Every great thing that's ever happened to me through God and His church. And I'm just going to tell you, you know, sometimes we forget that it's this family and this assembly that God is returning to take home to be with Him. He's not catching me away and not you. He's coming home for His church to draw us up together in heaven. I'm not going to be surprised by the people that will go. I'll look over and see my brothers and sisters in Christ as we meet together in the air from all over the place. Sometimes we forget the family of God. I just want to preach to you. You know, hope is, according to the 1828 dictionary, is a confident anticipation of a good outcome. But still, there are those that when I'm telling someone about Jesus and they say, I hope I'll make it, I don't usually stop and not continue on. Because hope is a confident anticipation, but I'm thankful that the Bible puts together a blessed hope. Amen. You know, the word blessed is oftentimes defined simply as being happy. It's a happy hope. You know why it's happy and not just a hope-so? Because it's not a hope-so salvation.
That's right.
It's eternal life. Hey. It's a I know so.
Hey.
I've been to people and stood at the door and they say, nobody can know that.
Oh, yeah.
And I take them and run them to 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that ye may know that you have eternal life. I'm just going to tell you today, the Bible is a no-so book.
Amen.
It's not wishy-washy or maybe so. It's a I know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm thankful for that. He says here, happy, blessed. The word blessed in the 1828 dictionary means happy, prosperous in worldly affairs, enjoying spiritual happiness and the favor of God, enjoying the heavenly facility. That means just means great happiness. Do you realize when we get saved, we don't just have the hope. The world can have hope. When I was a boy, I was small and I wanted a bicycle and I hoped for this little blue bicycle that I had seen in the store window and I said, I want that bike right there. Man, I want that bike. I hope I get that bike. Man, I hope that I'd get that bike. And my, listen, that you know, the Bible says hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So I would have been sick if that little blue bike hadn't come in for my birthday. Amen. But when I received that, I did get that. But you know, there were presents and things that I had hoped for that I never received. Things that I, you know, I'm going to take you way back. I'm going to date myself now. You know, the Sears and Roebuck catalog and the JCPenney's wish book that just had the toys in it. That's what I remember for a kid. We didn't have the internet. We had a catalog. They'd say, mark all the things you want in there. And I sat down and proceeded to mark everything in that book. And then they say, go back and put 1, 2, and 3 on the top three choices that you have. Because everything was circled. You say, you really did that? Man, I'm telling you, I did that. And I hoped against hope for some of those things. But the blessed hope and the great appearing of our great God references something that's a spiritual act, something that's going to happen. Not just hope like the world thinks of hope, that I hope this will happen, or I'm hoping that the gas prices will go down, and I wish this, or I wish that. It's not a wish. It's a blessed hope, one that's happy because it's a sure thing. It's not dependent upon any man on earth, and there is no power in heaven or earth that could stop the appearing of our great God. Because God said He would come back for His church and catch it away. Folks, I don't know about you, but I like this. Look at the scripture with me today, and we may turn some references here, but I want you to use your Bible. In verse 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That first thing, the first thing required is looking. We've said much about it, but the word looking here is really referencing a watching. Right now we have, you know, I don't like going to Walmart. Amen? Woo! Can I get an amen right there? Amen? Especially not Haines City Walmart. I'll drive clean to Winter Haven to go to Walmart. This place is a madhouse. Amen? I'm just telling you. I'm getting real with you right now. Amen? Walmart here in town, I mean, you know, 25 lines and none of them open. to get you out of there. It's like, you know, it's like a roach motel. They let you in, but nobody gets out. It's truth. So you're watching. You know, my wife and I go there together, and it's strategic. One of us has got the bug, and the other one's looking for the shortest line. Lining it up, you know, and trying to get out of that place. Amen. And if I'm that way at Walmart, and we're a team and we're watching and looking how we're going to get out of this place, shouldn't we be that way about how Jesus is going to return for us? Should we not be collectively as a body of Christ, as a group of people, constantly looking for the return of Jesus Christ, keeping our eyes on the skies and thinking that today could be the day? Let me ask you, church, when was the last time you woke up in the morning and thought about the blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and said, I hope it's today. I'm not looking forward to going and doing what I'm going to do today. It would just be better if you came and took me home to be with you, Lord. Too many times we get caught up in our lives and what we're doing, what must be done for the nasty now and now, instead of waking up and realizing today could be the day. It'll change your outlook, folks, if you start looking for the appearing of our great God. I just want you to know, he says here, look at Luke 12. I want to read it real quickly, Luke chapter 12, and we'll be quick. I've got it marked. If you don't get there before I get to it, I'll be reading ahead of you. So he says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now read the context. Let your loins be girt about and your lights be burning. That idea is I'm ready day or night for the return of Jesus Christ. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. You know, I know that you know that we're going to be caught out of here in a twinkling of an eye. You've heard that preached. But I want to be ready at an instant to meet my Lord. I don't want to, my first thought as I'm caught out of this life to be, oh no, Jesus has come and caught me not watching. I want my thoughts to be blessed. I want my thoughts to be excitement. I want my thoughts to be, I'm ready, Lord. You say, well, is it get easier as you get older? Absolutely. There are things that don't, you've lived. You've walked this road. You realize, you've tasted. Like Solomon, there's so many roads that you've passed down and you realize all is vanity. Except for Jesus. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't always take experience, but getting to verse 37, he says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. That sounds like heaven to me. Doesn't that sound like Jesus setting us down when we get home to be with him in his church and he girds himself and serves us? Hey, folks, you say, well, I don't deserve that. No, nobody deserves that. But that's the blessed hope that we look forward to. A marriage supper of the Lamb. Coming and joining together with the Lord Jesus. He says this, and I want you to know this, and I know what's required. But let me tell you one thing, and I don't want to get too far off of this, but what's not required? A landing. There are too many people that think that it's Jesus is going to come back and he's going to have to land and touch down. They get their eschatology all messed up, and that's just a big word for the end times. Their estimation. But Jesus doesn't have to land to catch us out of this place. And we see it right here in the scripture. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the appearing. Look, glorious appearing of our great God. You know that glorious appearing is because he will appear from glory. He's going to descend from heaven. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians with me. I don't know about you, but I get excited. Thursday we read this scripture and got excited. I'll get excited again today. He says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading, if you would, in verse 15. He says, "For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Look, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He doesn't have to touch down. We're not looking. It does not require a landing to have a blessed hope. Jesus doesn't have to come back and touch down to pick me up. He's a great God of heaven. A glorious appearing will happen in the sky. And before the world knows what happened, bam, the church will be gone. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll be meeting together in the air. You say, "Whoa, preacher, you're getting excited about it." I'd be excited if it could happen just now. I want to preach it and exhort every believer that you ought to watch and look for the return of Jesus, because one day the skies will open for the believer. Nobody else that's lost will even notice that it happened. They'll just notice that we're gone. The Bible says strong delusion will come on them. And if you don't think every movie of Hollywood of people being able to be snatched up, if you've looked and even seen shows that are on television, it's about planes disappearing and people going missing and showing up later, and the great lie of Satan will come on all the world, and all the people will look for their sons and daughters and babies and grandparents and all the people that went missing, and they'll say, "Well, they had a bad programmer up here in their head, and all the aliens swept over and took them up to be with them." Or they'll come up with another story, and they just disappeared and are caught away. Now they're in a different universe and we can't see them. They're still here somewhere. He said people won't believe that. People will believe that. I can't believe the things people believe today. I can't believe the lies that people are telling, because strong delusion is already starting to come on the world. We are so close to our blessed hope, people are already believing the lies of Satan and swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. And if we're not careful, listen, we'll get caught up and without a sound mind, even as a believer, instead of looking for the blessed hope and the great appearing of our great God, we'll get caught up with the silly delusions of this world. We'll get caught up with thinking that these iPhones and the gas prices and some president is going to fix all our woes, instead of praying and weeping for lost souls and seeing people come to Christ and watch the great appearing of our great God happen in our day. Amen. The greatest desire of my heart, honestly, today is that Jesus would return for his church. But I'll work until Jesus comes. Why? Because I want him to see me watching. You see, watching isn't just looking up for to be caught out. It's doing some things, being ready. He said, we don't just quit what we're doing. We don't go out on, you know, cults go out on some hill and stand and look up towards heaven, saying it's going to be today because they set a time. No, we realize that Jesus promised, and it has been thousands of years, and we still believe in working until Jesus comes. But we'll not forsake the gathering of ourselves together. You know, we don't often think about why we gather ourselves together. Wouldn't it be nice to be called out while we're gathered together? Instead of coming up from all our own little places, but being snatched out of the place that God told us to gather ourselves together, and to remind ourselves that God is holy, God is right, God is on the throne, and just what he said will happen will come to pass in his time. You say, "Well, preacher, what other signs are there?" Listen, we don't have to look for Jesus landing. We can look around and realize earthquakes. You know, the stuff that they don't put on the news is the stuff that Jesus said. Earthquakes are increasing all over the world. And the only ones we get to hear about are the real bad ones that knock everybody out. Tropical storms, they said, "Boy, this is going to be a bad, bad season of hurricanes and things. Buckle up. Buy plywood before it turns into a $100 sheet." Amen. Amen? Get ready to cover your windows. Listen, that's what these storms and all the trials, all the things that seems like it's worse than it's ever been, Jesus said it'd be like that. Wars and rumors of wars before he comes. Do we not already have those all in our presence? I'm looking for the blessed hope. I'm looking for his appearing. How about this one? He comes. How about requires learning? You know, in our lives, sometimes we live in a day and age where Jesus is spoken of and everyone knows that he truly existed. But a small percentage of even people who call themselves Christians believe that Jesus is the great God. You know, we live in a day and age where you meet somebody and you talk to them about salvation, you better talk to them about what they think about Jesus. Because the gospel is not just tied up in Jesus being a good prophet. No, Jesus was a prophet, but Jesus is the great God. It's not Jesus being a good man, because he was a good man, but he's the God man that came from heaven, that robed himself in flesh when he didn't have to, and died in my place and in your place, and then took in his own power and rose again on the third day. You say, what's so different about Jesus? Everything. He's not a man, he's the God man. He's not just a God like the little G God of this world. He's the great God who will descend from heaven and become the blessed hope of his church that he purchased with his own blood and rose again and now sits seated at the right hand of God, not to do his own bidding, but do the bidding and to answer the prayers of his church, and to know that we have an intercessor in heaven and that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, not because of what I did, but because of what he did. That's my blessed hope. And even though he has not come back for me, I believe in him like he was already here, because that's the way he believes in me. He sees me seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, I want to get back to the place where the church is looking for the appearing of their God. They believe in him the way he believes in us. The way he purchased us with his own blood, we look unto him, the author and finish of our faith, and say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. If you don't come, I'm going to work just like you did. I'm going to work and see you face to face and not be ashamed of the work that I do, but know that I know that I know that there's a blessed hope and that he's coming back for me. Hey folks, I'm just telling you this morning, we've got to get back to the appearing and not just thinking that he's going to land like all the other corrupt scriptures want you to believe, but now realizing that he's not just somebody, but learning about who he is. You know, the Catholic Church builds statues of him, and they leave him on the cross. My Savior's not on the cross anymore. Everybody else wants to say, well, it's what Jesus did plus the catechisms of the church. No, no, no. Jesus built the church. Jesus is the head of the body. Jesus, don't corrupt the scriptures. It's Jesus plus nothing for salvation. To receive and to gather this blessed hope to what is required of every one of us. You say, how do I acquire this blessed hope? How do I get what God has for me? How do I receive what Jesus did? What is required to have this blessed hope? I'm glad you asked me that question. I know you were thinking that. All you people on the radio, I heard the echoes of the waves come through. It was on the FM dial. I heard you come in. It was dialed in at 90.3 FM. You say, was that an advertisement? No, I'm just trying to get you to focus back in for a moment. You say, it's not really like that. Well, it's better than junior church. I used to go, hey, 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 listen up. Hey, I want you to listen to me this morning, because there's a great God and we need to accept him. We need to realize what he's done for us. And not only for those Christians that already know who he is and what they've accepted and look for his return, but those of us that have found our way into this building this morning. People that have found their way into this place and do not know for sure they're on their way to heaven. They don't have a blessed hope. They just have a hope that someday they'll get to heaven. They need a blessed hope. They need to know that not only, look here, he says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, you can look for Jesus. You can know that he's going to come back one day. You can even know that he is the great God. And if we were to turn to Colossians, we'd realize he's not just a great God. He's the creator God. He made it all, and that everything by him consists. But to know and to have him as our blessed hope, he has to be our Savior. Personally, it requires to have him as our blessed hope. We have to accept his finished work of Calvary. It requires this, letting go. You say, what do you mean letting go? Letting go of all the other things that we've added to him. You know, there are people undoubtedly in the room this morning that believe Jesus died and that he rose again, that he lived a perfect life and that he is the Son of God. But they believe they have to keep on working to keep their salvation. And that's false. It's Jesus plus nothing. There are people in this room today that believe it's Jesus and his finished work plus baptism. And that's false. That's a false way. It's Jesus plus nothing. There are people in this room that believe that it's Jesus plus, add whatever it is that you're thinking about this morning. Whatever it is, it's Jesus plus nothing. There are people that, you know, those people that believe in Muhammad as a prophet, they believe in Jesus as a prophet. But they don't believe that he's the Savior of the world. They don't believe he's the hope. There are a bunch of people. Folks, you can be just like the devils in hell who believe in Jesus and tremble. But you got to go to the place that you believe that he died, was buried, and that he rose again on the third day and is seated at the right hand. When you get to that place and then you say, I want you to be my Savior, I'm going to put my faith and trust in you that I will have this blessed hope. Do you know that's what I did years ago? I didn't use the word or terminology blessed hope, but that's what I was trusting in. That Jesus, who died and was buried and rose again, would give me eternal life. And when he either came back to get me, or if I died and was put in the ground, I would rise again, not because of me or because of what I did, but because of what he did and what he's going to do. Folks, if you're here today and you don't know that, you need to let go of the past. Anything else you added to Jesus and believe in Jesus alone, we call that repentance. That means you need to repent from adding anything else to Jesus and just trust in him. How about this? It requires lining up with the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus is the very Son of God. There are people in the room today that believe all kinds of things about Jesus, but why don't you just line up and say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He did die. He was buried in that borrowed tomb, and then after 3 days rose up under his own power and now is seated at the right hand. How about this? It requires letting Jesus in. You know, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he actually is speaking to the Laodicean church. But we oftentimes use that verse. Turn with me if you would. If you haven't ever seen it, turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, and I'll read it to you this morning. You know, we started over there in Luke chapter 12, and he talked about that he would knock, and they would immediately open. I believe that our church this morning, I'm preaching this twofold, because there are people that are in the church that forgot that Jesus is coming again. And they're living their lives like he's not really going to return, but that they have all the time in the world to serve him. Someday I'll get around to serving him. Someday I'll get around to doing what's right. Someday I'll get around to putting something off. No, no, no. The blessed hope could come at any moment. And a person that's watching gets sober and realizes Jesus is on his way, and today is the day I need to serve him. But listen, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can't say that he's your Savior. You need to do what this is saying too. In verse number 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You say, is it just that simple? It's just that simple. Jesus has done the work. He's finished. All he's looking for you to do is to invite him in, to ask him to be your Savior, your personal Savior, accepting that he is the Son of God, that he did die and that he did rise again. You say, preacher, you've said that so many times. Well, I hope that you got it today. Because the blessed hope is on its way. It could be today. I have plans this afternoon just like you do. I don't know what you're going to eat. It might be chicken and dumplings. It may be fried chicken. I don't know what's on the menu for you. I'm just telling you, today, we all have plans. But I'm okay with God messing up my plans. Because he's got a better plan. And he could come today. You know what our plan needs to be? Every day, be ready for his appearing. The only way you can truly be ready is to know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. If you're here today and you don't know that, won't you get saved? Here at our church, we have an old-fashioned invitation. And the invitation is simply people will stand and they'll bow their heads and we'll invite people to come. This altar is a place where people can come and be altered, changed. First in salvation, then by baptism, joining the church, then by making decisions to live godly in this present world as God ordered us to do. And wherever you are in your life, if you've been saved, then maybe you need to use the altar and say, God, I've not been looking for your appearing. I want to be ready when you come. Help me to live for you. Maybe you're here and you've never been baptized, you never joined this church, but you're saved. Why don't you come and present yourself for baptism today? If you're here and you've never been saved, then step out. Maybe ask somebody. If you're shy, ask somebody to go with you. Will you go with me? I need to go down front. Help me with this. Listen, folks, whatever it is, you do what God asks you to do. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Whatever God is asking you to do today, as the musicians come, if you're here and you say, Brother Parsons, preacher, pastor, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anywhere that say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to know that. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. I don't see one. If anybody saw one, why don't you say to that person, I'll go with you. If you're here and you're a believer, but you've not been looking for his coming, why don't you step out and come? What a blessed hope it is. I'm going to meet you in your front as Brother Burt sings. Whatever God's asked you to do, you come and do it this morning.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head with me this morning? An attitude of prayer. Folks have come. Maybe you need to come this morning and join the church through baptism. Some have come for that this morning. Maybe you need to be saved. You need to accept Jesus as your Savior so that you can have that blessed hope. That is what's required of you, folks. What is required to have a blessed hope is to accept the blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. If you have never done that, would you step out and come as Brother Burt sings?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Amen. Hope you did what God asked you to do. We'll let you be seated. We have some things to share with you this morning, and